know the Switch better than I.
Appreciate it. All right. Good morning, everybody. Sorry I'm running a little late this morning. Couldn't get my motor out of second gear this morning. I guess it's the cold snap. Do what? No, sorry. I said I couldn't get my motor running. I couldn't get out of second gear. Second Peter, I got you. Oh. All right. Well, it's good to be back with you up here. I appreciate those who filled in for me. And it's going to happen again next week. We're going to be in DFW next week, but Rick has graciously offered to teach this class just next week. Let's begin with prayer requests, and we've already got Cesar Valadez. Okay. He's the one that was burned, and he's going to have surgery on Valentine's Day. Okay. On his shoulder. Okay, so... so we need to keep Caesar in our prayers. Who else? Oh, I'm going to have to scoot back a little bit, aren't I? I won't be able to see you. Your grandpa, okay. Hmm. Okay. Is your grandfather on the hospice now? Okay. 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 Well, we'll sure hold up your grandfather in prayer. He's sometimes not eating, sometimes not drinking like he should. Hospice is there taking care of him. So, people who are struggling with mental health. All right. Other prayer requests? Yes, Sandy.
Our outreach meeting on Thursday I thought was just wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Trained up as disciples and I need to be a better disciple for us.
Yeah, she's saying we need to pray for the mission effort. We had Missions Month in January, and for too long, I think, we have sort of relegated the idea of mission work to those people who go to those places. But there's the Spirit is awakening in so many people here in Snyder, not just at Eastside. A desire to go into the fields. They're white unto harvest. And we just, we need to ask God to send more workers. And to break down any walls that exist between the Catholic, Baptist, whatever people are these days. And just say, hey, we are part of the kingdom of God. Let's get together and do some work. All right. Terry. Rick's CAT scan, Rick Peck's CAT scans this week. We need to hold those up. Do you have an update on Rick Martin?
I think he's doing okay. Okay. I think they got all of it.
Good. Okay.
Super radiation treatment, so all those are passed.
Okay. Is he in remission or? She's passing notes in class. Do you know any updates on? He's fine. Okay, good, good. Thank you, God. All right, Maxine.
Yes, I had two prayer requests. One is for my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Zandy, and they found a place on her that was cancerous.
Oh.
So I pray for her. She's got a whole bunch of kids.
Mm.
So I just pray for healing on her.
Yeah.
And for my sister, Goof. I don't know her real name. Isla Ruth.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And be with her and help her where she can get up and get around.
Yeah.
So she can drive slow everywhere and go to breakfast. She's still doing that.
Well, she's what we call in West Texas, what we call good people. She's good people. We don't care about plural or singular. Slow is the caregiver for Goof. Okay. Yeah, so like Elijah and Elisha, we'll pray for a double portion of the Spirit. So. All right. Anything else?
The Super Bowl that, of course, you know, so many people are fanatics and all, but I've read and seen numerous reports about it's the worst time, some of the worst, most heinous crimes and trafficking that are all associated around the Super Bowl. We don't like to think about those things, or I don't.
Yeah.
But anyway, just we can maybe be in extra prayer that things will be done in a godly way and God will protect the innocents that sometimes suffer at the hands of very rich and powerful people. It's really awful.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's just gotten to where if there's ever an event, you can just bet there's going to be, Satan is going to be at work. So we need to pray, keep people in our prayers for safety. Yes.
My brother and I had the flu.
Has the flu? Oh. Okay. There's a bunch of people that are sick and sick of being sick and... They're okay. We'll keep him in our prayers. All right, let's go to the Father. God, we worship you. This morning we hold your name up above all names. Thank you, God, for being the one who rescues us from the hands of wicked demons that want to harass us. Thank you, God, for healing those of us like Rick Martin who have faced death even, and you have healed him at least for a time. We honor you, Father, for what you have done, even though our memories are so short when it comes to that. Thank you for taking care of us. And we hold these people up now that we've talked about. We ask your blessing on all who are in the hospital, who are sick, who are facing dangerous times. Father, we hold them up to you because you are the only source of true healing, of true power and protection. And we ask you to protect our minds right now as we open your word. Give us your bread, Father, and frustrate the plans of the enemy. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Alan, I don't know if I'd clarified, we'll be on video number 7. Is that the one you're... Okay, all right. the last time I taught, literally last year, we were on video number 6, and we watched the video, and I said we'd have a discussion on it. In my prayer time, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was, as some say, it was much louder than that. Told me that we should probably just move on because contemplative prayer, while it's good, it's a great resource for Christians to use, we're not all there. And some of us may feel like we're kind of speaking Chinese when we start talking about meditation and contemplation, and that, you know, we're talking about something that some of us have never even heard of. So because I know that some of you might be interested in that, after all, I made copies of my notes for the lesson. So if anybody wants a copy of the notes, it's got a painting on the back called Forgiven that we were going to sort of focus on and see if we can find things in there. I still say it's a wonderful spiritual discipline, but I just got the message, move on. So I'm trying to be obedient and moving on. But if you do want a copy of that, just come up here and there's plenty for anybody who wants them. So when we think about prayer, when we think about just prayer time, going to God, some people would define it as when we speak to God. Prayer is us speaking to God. And that's right. That is what we do. But I'd like to for us to kind of think about it in a little bit different terms. Mother Teresa, for instance, said, prayer is not just asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God at His disposition and listening to His voice in the depth of our hearts. Listening to God, that's a big part of prayer. We do the talking in prayer, and we should also be doing some listening. I really appreciated what Jerry talked about last week with silence and solitude. And it's in times like that, I think it's easier to listen. It's kind of hard to listen to God when you're in traffic and you've got the radio on and somebody in the back seat's telling you to slow down. And I'm not speaking from experience, of course, but the idea of us talking to God is something we've all been doing all our lives. The idea of us listening to God may be new to our ears until we sort of talk about how He speaks to us. How does God speak to us? How does He give us His message? Through the Bible. That's what I have for number one, and I certainly hope that you believe that the Bible is living and active, sharp as a double-edged sword, and God uses it even today to speak to us. How else does He speak to us? Through the Spirit. Did y'all read my notes? That's number two on here. It's, yes, God speaks to us through the Spirit. Now, and of course, the Spirit is also involved with the Bible, because the Bible is the written word of God. The Spirit is God's active person, His Spirit, and when the two get together, that's when things are created. That's when everything was created. When the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together in our minds, that's when new things begin to happen. A third way that I talked, that I have on here, I'm guessing nobody can do what? Worship in song. Yeah. Just worship in general, singing, reading scripture, things like that. Nature, yeah. And that's where I just wrote a million other ways. So basically God speaks to different people in different ways. Some people He gives dreams, okay? Some people it is an audible voice. We can't always determine when He speaks to us. In fact, it's almost never that I can say, God, I need this answer right now. Give it to me, and it's there. And I'm really going to have to clear my throat a lot this morning. I truly believe that God speaks to us all the time, but we just aren't listening well enough. Like, have you ever caught yourself suddenly noticing a sunset and realizing that sunset's been there all this time and I didn't notice it until just now? And then you thank God for the sunset. Or it could happen in, like I said, a million different ways. If God can speak through a donkey, then He can use anything in nature. I think it's a mistake for us to wait for some big fireworks message, some audible voice, okay? I may have made a mistake in college when I asked, thank you, Sally. I had the job for a while of kind of shutting down University Church of Christ. That sounded terrible. I had a job for a while of turning off the lights and locking the doors and things like that after everybody left. I wasn't shutting down the church. Do what? I was Craig. And there was one night, I don't know if you've ever been in the auditorium of University Church of Christ, but it's got this medieval look, and the chandeliers hanging down and the big stained glass windows on the sides and arches everywhere. And I was in there by myself, and just by the light of the chandeliers, and it's really pretty when that it's like that. And I just looked around and sort of appreciated the moment, and then thought, God, if you ever speak to me in a situation like this with an audible voice, I might just wet my pants. So please don't scare me if you ever talk to me like that. Give me some warning. And you could have, this wouldn't be believable if you saw it in a movie. Just at that moment, I heard this, hello? What are you doing, God? Is somebody looking for a place to study? I said, go to the library. This place is shutting down. You scared me to death. I think that was just God having a little laugh. But yes, he can speak in an audible voice. He can speak through donkeys. He can do that. Don't expect it, though. Don't demand an answer to God, because most likely we have to do some growing before we can understand what he's saying. I'll jump ahead to a story that we're going to talk about towards the end of this class, which probably will be not today. But when Elijah heard the whisper of God, he had to do several things to get there, didn't he? I mean, he had to travel a long way. He had to overcome his suicidal wishes. He had to get past the earthquake and the fire and the big, and then finally just listen. And when he listened carefully, he could hear that whisper. So, yes, through church worship, through hymns, all of a sudden you feel stirred, and you could have sworn the last time you sang that song, those words weren't in there. But man, are they hitting you hard now. And it's because God is speaking to you in that. For me, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, but for me, he even uses secular songs. Okay? Sometimes maybe because that's all he has to work with. So he'll get the message to me. I've told you the story before when I was walking. It was very dark. And I just said, God, it is so dark out here. And just then the Who came on. I can see for miles and miles. And I just thought, wow, you can use anything, God. But yeah, sunset, even a piece of junk mail you might get might stir a memory that leads to a thought. God can use anything. And because he can use anything, we can't make a list of all the ways he speaks to us. So when we sing, we like to sing this song, in the rustling grass, I hear him pass. Yeah. Can we really hear him pass through rustling grass if we're constantly bombarding ourselves with noise? That's why I really appreciated what Jerry was teaching last week, because that is right on cue with hearing the voice of God. When you walk with God and you really believe he's with you and that he has things he wants to teach you, it's the most natural thing to hear God's voice in unusual or maybe unexpected places. But that brings up an important question. I'm gonna tell you the first part of this story. Don't be frustrated if I don't get to the end of it until the next time we meet, because that really is the point of this class. I had a dream once, and when I woke up, I remembered the whole thing. I wondered if it was God, because Satan also knows how to speak to us, and he disguises himself sometimes to sound like God, to look like God. So the question is, how do you know if the message that you're getting is from God or from Satan? And at the end of the class, I'll try to remember. If I don't, raise your hand and I'll tell you the gist of it. But I decided that the dream was, in fact, not from God, that it was from Satan. Being able to tell one voice from another is a gift. What do we call that when you can, what is it?
Discernment,
yes. When you can discern the voice of God from the voice of Satan. I don't have discernment mastered by any means, but I do believe God helped me understand that dream for what it was and to see it clearly. Well, Pete Grieg this morning is going to talk about how God talks to us. That's this morning's video. And he's going to address this very question. Like usual, he likes to use anagrams or like pray, P-R-A-Y. Listen for his ABC approach to testing the message and see if it's really from God. He doesn't cover the entirety of the subject, but it's a good starting place. So, Alan, if you don't mind.
So Pete, here we are, session number seven.
Seven.
The penultimate session of the prayer course.
Indeed, yes.
So far we've talked a lot about how we can kind of talk to God. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked a lot about how God can speak to us.
Right.
And I know as soon as we mention that, there are going to be people that are watching that are going to think that's kind of either weird or scary.
Okay, yeah. Well, the Bible says that we are actually designed as human beings to walk and talk with God. So this is the most natural thing in the world, to speak to him and to hear him speak to us. So it's normal to hear God's voice. It's abnormal and probably a little bit dangerous to be spiritually deaf.
Mm.
So if you take some of the greatest people who ever lived, take Moses. Exodus 33, verse 11 says, the Lord would speak with Moses. It's one of the loveliest verses in the Bible. Face to face as one speaks with a friend.
Yeah.
So it was a friendship conversation between Moses and God. Jesus says, man, woman shall not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Mm. So that's why this line of the Lord's Prayer, asking for daily bread, is about listening to God as well as asking for physical food. If we're not listening to what God's saying to us, we'll kind of starve spiritually.
Right.
John 10:27. So I'm rolling out the Bible verses here, but Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So one of the marks of real Christians is that we recognize Jesus' voice. Mm. So maybe it's a little bit like we've got this lovely old-fashioned phone here, and if you called me, actually, you're not going to use this. Let me get my cell phone out. If you called me on my phone, when we first met, I didn't have your number in my phone, and I'd be like, who is this? And you'd have to say, hi, it's Poppy, and
Poppy.
All that. Whereas now I've got your number in my phone, it comes up, it says Poppy. And so as you build relationship with God, you get to recognize his, you know it's him calling, right? You get to know his voice, just like those sheep recognizing the shepherd's voice.
Mm. Aren't there just some people, though, that are better at hearing God's voice than others? Like, I've been a Christian for a lot of years, but there are still times when I find myself even struggling to figure out if I'm hearing the voice of God.
I think that's true. I think there are just definitely some people who are just amazing at hearing the voice of God. And the truth is that God speaks to us all differently. He's made us all different, so we tend to hear him differently. Some, it's really mystical, it's dreams and visions and angels and all of that. Some, like, God leads us and speaks to us just really practical ways. And it's okay to hear God the way that he's made you. Don't compare yourself too much to other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really good.
I see this. As you know, we've got two kids, it's amazing how different they are, actually. And they definitely hear God differently.
Mm.
I remember one of the biggest decisions we had to make as a family when they were growing up was, we knew it was time to move. We'd been living in America for a while, but we weren't sure where. So we'd drawn up this short list of options. And I talked to a guy who's like a spiritual director to me, and I said to him, any advice? He said, it's really important you pray as a whole family about this decision, that it's not just you and Sammy off, like, hearing God, and then you just tell the kids, because they need to be part of the process. But it felt weird, because our boys were about 7 and 5 or something like that at that time. So they were quite little to be, like, praying into this big decision. Anyway, every night at bedtime, we prayed about it. And then one day, Sammy was walking the kids home from their, like, primary, elementary school, and Hudson suddenly goes, Mum, I'm hearing a voice in my head. And she, being the great spiritual giant that she is, didn't think it was God or anything like that. She's like, don't listen to it. Like, you're cracking up. And then he said, it's a nice voice. She said, those are the worst kinds. He said, I think it might be God. And then she went, oh, yeah, this is in the Bible.
Yeah.
So she said, well, what's the voice saying? And he said, the voice is saying we're supposed to move to Guildford, which is where we now live. And it was actually near the bottom of our list at that time. So I phoned my spiritual director and I said, what do you do with a 7-year-old hearing the audible voice of God?
Right.
And he said, well, you're nuts if you don't take that seriously. But you're nuts if you relocate your whole life on the basis of a 7-year-old hearing a voice. So I said, thanks for nothing, and put the phone down. So then we went out for, like, a Chinese meal, I think it was, with the whole family. And we turned to Danny. Remember, he's 5. He's, like, on one of those booster seats. And back then, his hair was white and, like, electrostatically charged. And we said, now, Danny, you know, Hudson feels like he's heard from God that we're supposed to move to Guildford. What are you sensing? And he looked around and realized, like, for once in my life, the whole family is hanging on my words. And he took his time. And he kind of put his little podgy hands together. And eventually we had to remind him he was meant to be speaking. And he said, I sense that God is saying, if we move to Guildford, can we have a dog, please? So that's how Noodle came into our life. That's one of the reasons we now live in Guildford. And so, you know, Huddy's hearing God more mystically, audible voice. Danny, it's more, it's very practical. Yes. I'd like a dog and I'm going to pretend it's God. And I think some of us, it's like we hear God on, we're on Wi-Fi. It's like you're just picking up God's broadcast all the time. Some, it's a bit more like a cell phone. It's like he's got your number and he calls regularly. And some of us, if we're honest, we go through seasons. It's a bit like snail mail. You know, you get the occasional thing through the door when it's really urgent, but you might not hear from God as often as you like.
Yeah.
And I do think it's different for different people. And one of my favourite Bible stories talks specifically about this and how to hear God and how it's different for different people. And I'd like us to read the story, if that's right.
Okay.
This is 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to read a fair bit, but it's such a great story, I don't think anyone will mind. Starting to read at verse 1. It's the story of Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Remember that. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. Pretty cool. He slept by the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
Indiana Jones, eat your heart out. And then the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli, said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, no, didn't call you. Go back, lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And my son, Eli said, I did not call. And I don't think this is my son. I think it's my son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now, Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up. He went to Eli again and he said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized, dunno, the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Great story, isn't
so
it?
So good.
I love it. There's so much in there. But one of the things I find so encouraging is that God kept speaking.
Yeah.
Samuel got it wrong, but God didn't give up, you know? And I don't know, that just encourages me because I often get it wrong. But also, notice the fact that God sounded like the old man in the next room. If God sounded all weird and boomy voice, then Samuel would have known it was God. But it sounded like another human being.
Yeah.
And often I think that's the way God comes to us and speaks to us in normal ways, not weird ways.
Didn't someone say that God comes to us disguised as our life?
Right. I always think it's weird how weird we get about God when, if you think about it, by definition, if he created everything, then he defines normality, right? And he made the stuff we consider normal. And so why would we relegate God to religious stuff or weird stuff when by definition he is the definition of normality? Mm. And so I think if we've got ears to hear, you know, we can hear God speaking through the lyrics of a song on the radio or maybe even through someone who doesn't even know him. I just find it so encouraging in this story that Samuel gets it wrong and keeps getting it wrong. Eli keeps getting it wrong, but God doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Hearing God isn't always easy.
Right.
And actually, when we start trying to hear him just in normality, then it can get confusing. He keeps calling, he keeps speaking, and eventually Samuel gets it right. And man, I know that I often mishear God or I ignore God. I'm so grateful that he's more patient than me.
Mm. So how do we get better at this? How do we move from snail mail to cell phones?
Isn't it interesting that Eli is actually the guy who eventually cottons on and introduces Samuel to the voice of God? He says, oh, this might be God speaking, and he coaches Samuel into that. So it's important to spend time around people who are good at hearing God and learning from them. I'm always doing that. I when people say to me, oh, I've heard this or that from God, I always go, how do you know it was God? Or what was it like? And sometimes I seek out older Christians and I learn from their own experience of discerning the voice and the will of God.
Okay. So I've got a little bit of an idea
Yes.
here in my head. I've got a question for you,
okay.
Pete. How do I get better at hearing
I
God's
knew
voice?
You were going to ask that question, yeah. Okay, two simple keys. These are really simple. The first one is this, slow down. Mm. God's not in a hurry. And the Bible says, as we've thought about this before, be still and know that I am God. So it's important we build time for quiet and reflection, retreat, contemplation into our daily lives, our weekly rhythms, even our annual rhythms, because those are times when the lake can become still and we can hear God's still small voice a bit better.
So you're talking about some sort of like daily quiet time.
Yeah, definitely. A time each day to be still, to read the Bible, to pray, to listen for the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I find that when I do that, it's not just that often God does speak to me as I read my Bible or as I'm just still and try to listen, but it primes me to be more attentive to the whispers of the Holy Spirit through the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, just try and slow down. One journalist said, atheism is the religion of the busy, you know? But then the second thing is this, as well as slowing down, soften up. And what I mean by that is it's so easy. In my own life, I know it's easy for my heart to get pretty hard. I get full of myself, overconfident, over busy, sin creeps in, all kinds of stuff. And it just makes me kind of resistant, actually, to tuning in to Radio Jesus, you know? Jesus says, do you have ears to hear what I'm saying? Mm. Again and again, like in the Gospels, which means it was possible to have Jesus Christ himself walk into your town and you missed it because you didn't have ears to hear. You were too busy, like, ordering fish or, I don't know, whatever. And you missed Jesus. So sometimes I think God is speaking, but we kind of miss it because our hearts actually have got a little bit hard.
So we've kind of said so far that everybody can really get better at recognizing God's voice and that we need to slow down.
Yeah.
We need to soften up. But some people have done like crazy, terrible things and said that God was speaking to them. How do we discern whether or not it's God's voice that we're hearing or not?
Great question. I apply what I call the ABC principle. A is advice. Get advice from a wise, sane Christian. B is the Bible. Is this word that I think I'm hearing in line with what the Bible says about the character of Jesus and the purpose of God? And then the C is common sense. I honestly think the number one gift that God wants to give to most Christians is common sense. Just sometimes we do such crazy things.
Yeah.
I've got some great friends, Dave and Molly. They have an amazing marriage, lovely kids. And Dave once told me, he and Molly got together. They were childhood sweethearts. You know, they got together at school, and they just always got on well, loved each other, attracted to each other. You know, they both loved the Lord, and so eventually Dave proposed to Molly, and she said yes. They're engaged, and then some super spiritual Christian said, "Oh, but have you had a word from God that you're supposed to marry?" And Dave went into this whole soul searching, oh no, I haven't had like some big revelation. I just really like her. We get on really well. Everyone who knows us thinks we're great together.
Yeah. So,
and he needed someone to sit down and go, Dave, it's okay. Like, God's led you through just the common sense of you guys have a great relationship.
So tell us, how does that play out in your life? How do you hear God speak to you?
Honestly, the most frequent way that God speaks to me is through the Bible, because it is God's utterly reliable word to us. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But we have to learn to listen to the Bible for revelation, not just for education. We can use the Bible as a conversation starter. One of the best tools for doing this is the Lectio Divina, which literally just means the holy reading. You familiar with that?
Yes.
So this approach to prayerful meditation on the Bible was first popularized by a Carthusian monk in the 12th century using four Latin words. But I'm just not that clever. I'm not very good at Latin. So I do it really, really simply. This is how I do it in my own life. I try and read the Bible. That's familiarization. Then having read the text, I explore it. That's imagination. So familiarization, imagination. Then I pray the text.
Okay.
So that's where I take it and I turn it into conversation. And finally, I try and enjoy it. That's where it's a celebration of wherever I go with that conversation. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, I know there's more resources about this in the tool shed on the Prayer Course website.
Right.
But I think it'd be kind of cool if we just did this right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so why don't we take the Bible verse we're actually looking at today, which is give us each day our daily bread, which comes in Luke chapter 11. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to read it. It might seem a little strange, but I'm going to read it two or three times.
Okay.
And remember, we're not reading for information. We're reading, you know, for familiarization, first of all. So I want you to think what word jumps out at you.
Okay.
So here we go. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread.
Okay, I guess the word that's really jumping out to me is daily. I think I'm feeling a little challenged about, you know, what we were talking about earlier about the idea of a daily quiet time and the idea that maybe God has something fresh for me every day.
Okay, that's amazing. Okay, so maybe this is the Lord speaking to you about something fresh every day. So let's now move from familiarization to exploration and imagination. Let's think about daily bread, okay? So what does daily bread make you think about?
Bread, like eating.
Yeah, okay. So, and it's like a warm, fresh loaf with like the smell. You got the smell of that beautiful smell of freshly baked bread. And it's like all white, fluffy bread in the middle and a nice thick crust.
Okay, you're making me hungry.
Well, that's good, because actually we want the way we engage with the Bible to be like integrated with our actual bodies and our real world. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. So if this is getting you a bit hungry, that's great. And what I suggest is we now turn that into prayer, into a conversation with God. So is this okay? Why don't you just turn whatever you're thinking and feeling around daily bread into conversation with the Father now?
Okay, let's do it. Father, I love the idea of your word being like warm, fresh bread. God, make me hungry for that today. God, I pray that you'd get my spiritual taste buds going. And God, I just want to say that I'm sorry for the times that I compromise and that I just sit around eating cold, hard, stale bread. Thank you so much for the stuff that you've been saying to me today, even as I just sit here in conversation with Pete.
Sorry. I feel really bad. But like I'm interrupting your prayer time. But I just wanted to register something. Just from these seven words that we've been looking at with this approach, can you see how easily you've just gone into prayer? Mm. It's just easy when the Bible becomes a conversation starter. So keep praying. But I just wanted to pause and just register that easy transition.
Yeah.
So let's keep praying. Sorry to interrupt.
Father, before Pete so rudely interrupted me, oh God, thank you for talking to me, God, today, for teaching me to recognize your voice. God, I pray this week that you would help me to hear your voice in the people that I meet, in the normal parts of my day, God, and just even through your word, God. Lord, teach me to pray. Amen.
Okay, we don't have time for a discussion right now, but I told you I would tell you at the end of the class how I believe God showed me that, in fact, that dream was from Satan, not from me. Sally and I, at this time of life, were facing a potential change, and the dream was terrible. In the changed circumstance, things were not working out at all. They were going from worst to worst. And worst of all, in this dream, there was just no hope that things would ever get better. And you're probably wondering, well, how could you have even entertained the idea that that would be from God? Not all messages from God are going to make us feel good. But the thing that convinced me was there was no hope in this prayer. There was no hope at all. And Jesus said, I have come to give people hope, to give them peace, not like the world gives. And we're told over and again, especially in the writings of Paul, that we are supposed to be people of hope. So I concluded, okay, that wasn't from God, that was from Satan, and I didn't think anything more about it. In fact, I wrote those notes 3-4 months ago, maybe. I can't even remember now the dream that I was referring to in my own notes. That's how bad my memory's gotten. But the point is, I didn't hold on to it. I didn't hold on to the dream. I believe God can give us discernment. It's a gift from Him to be able to tell, God, is this you or is this Satan? Because Satan does know how to dress up like an angel pretty well. And we just have to be careful with that. Remember, if you want to learn more about contemplative prayer, I've got my notes right over here. I'm sorry I didn't let y'all talk. I will when we get back.